We're glad you're at the right place at the right time tonight. Good to be with you. We're glad you're here. Our study tonight is an overview of the book of 2 Kings. Nicholas did an excellent job taking us through the book of 1 Kings. 2 Kings continues the history that began in 1 Kings, giving information related to the period of which period of Old Testament history? Jason. The divided kingdom. Exactly right. Thank you. 1 Kings ended with Jehoram beginning to reign over Judah. 1 Kings 22 and verse 50 relates that information. Jehoshaphat slept with his fathers, was buried with his fathers in the city of David, his father, and Jehoram, his son, reigned in his stead. And it also ended with Ahaziah reigning over Israel. Ahaziah, the son of Ahab, began to reign over Israel and Samaria, according to 1 Kings 22 and verse 51. So 2 Kings picks up the history at that point and continues through the end of both kingdoms. The mantle of prophecy is being passed from who? Elijah to Elisha. What's important to keep in mind when you read and study this period of history? Some of these kings of Israel and Judah have the same name. And you have to keep note of who is under consideration. Spelled the same way, but different people, different kingdoms. So it's good to make some notes along that line. We'll talk about the kings of Israel and Judah and then Elijah and Elisha. Let's just look down through the kings of Israel to start with, and then we'll talk about the kings of Judah and then the prophets. Ahaziah, first up, eighth king of Israel, 2 Kings 1. What happened to Ahaziah? He fell through a lattice in his upper chamber and was sick. Did he recover? He did not. What do you learn from him? One thing that stands out. He went to the wrong source, didn't he? He sent messengers and said unto them, go inquire of who? Beelzebub, the god of Ekron, whether I shall recover of this disease. And Elijah met the messengers of the king of Samaria and asked this question, is it not because there is not a god in Israel that you go to inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron? It's a great question. You learn from Ahaziah the importance of going to the proper source. You have Elijah's prediction of his death. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, thou shalt not come down from that bed on which thou art gone up, but shalt surely die. How many times did Elijah call fire down from heaven? Twice. The fire of God came down from heaven. You can read about that in verses 10 and 12. And it happened just like Elijah said, verse 17. So he died according to the word of the Lord, which Elijah had spoken. The next king of Israel is Jehoram. Verse 17 says, Jehoram reigned in his stead. And you read about his reign in chapter 3. The Moabites were defeated. Notice what's revealed about Jehoram in chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. He reigned 12 years, and he wrought evil in the sight of the Lord. All of the kings of Israel were evil, weren't they? He wrought evil in the sight of the Lord, but not like his father and like his mother, for he put away the image of Baal that his father had made. Nevertheless, he cleaved unto the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, which made Israel to sin, he departed not therefrom. What's one of the highlights of his reign? The Moabites are defeated, aren't they? Verse 14, Elisha said, "As the Lord of hosts liveth before whom I stand, surely were it not that I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, I'd not look toward thee nor see thee. Now bring me a minstrel." And it came to pass when the minstrel played that the hand of the Lord came upon him. And he said, "Thus saith the Lord, make this valley full of ditches. For thus saith the Lord, ye shall not see wind, neither shall ye see rain. Yet that valley shall be filled with water, that ye may drink, both ye and your cattle and your beast. And this is but a light thing in the sight of the Lord. He will deliver the Moabites also into your hand, and ye shall smite every fenced city and every choice city, and shall fell every good tree, and stop all wells of water, and mar every good piece of land with stones. And it came to pass in the morning, when the meat offering was offered, that behold, there came water by the way of Edom, and the country was filled with water. And when all the Moabites heard that the kings were come up to fight against them, they gathered all that were able to put on armor and upward and stood in the border. And they rose up early in the morning, and the sun shone upon the water. And the Moabites saw the water on the other side as red as what? Blood. Underscore that. And they said, this is blood. The kings are surely slain. Things weren't as they appeared, were they? They've smitten one another. Now therefore, Moab to the spoil. When they came to the camp of Israel, the Israelites rose up and smote the Moabites so that they fled before them, but they went forward smiting the Moabites even in their country. And they beat down the cities, and on every good piece of land cast their men in stone and filled it, and they stopped all the wells of water and filled all the good trees. Only in Kereseth they the stones thereof, howbeit the slingers went about it and smote it. Next up is Jehu, king of Israel, the 10th king. He was anointed king over Israel. Read about his reign in chapters 9 and 10. The Lord had anointed him king over Israel, chapter 9 and verse 3. What stands out about his reign? Nicholas? He surely did. He killed Jehoram, the house of Ahab, Ahaziah of Judah, destroyed the Baal worshipers. Look at chapter 9, verse 24. Jehu drew a bow with his full strength and smote Jehoram between his arms, and the arrow went out at his heart, and he sunk down in his chariot. Then in verse 27, when Ahaziah, the king of Judah, saw this, he fled by the way of the garden house, and Jehu followed after him and said, "Smite him also in the chariot." And they did so at the going up to Gur, which is by Ibleam, and he fled to Megiddo and died there. Then you read on in verse 30, when Jehu has come to Jezreel, who appears here? Jezebel heard of it, and she painted her face and tired her head and looked out of the window. And as Jehu entered in at the gate, she said, "Had Zimri peace, who slew his master?" And he lifted up his face to the window and said, "Who is on my side? Who?" And there looked out to him two or three eunuchs, and he said, "Throw her down." So they threw her down, and some of her blood was sprinkled on the wall and on the horses, and he trod her underfoot. And when he was come in, he did eat and drink and said, "Go, see now this," how she described this, cursed woman, "and bury her, for she is a king's daughter." And they went to bury her, but they found no more of her than the skull and the feet and the palms of her hands. Wherefore they came again and told him, and he said, "This is the word of the Lord which he spake by a servant Elijah, the Tishbite, saying," remember that back in 1 Kings 21? "In the portion of Jezreel shall dogs eat the flesh of Jezebel, and the carcass of Jezebel shall be as dung upon the face of the field in the portion of Jezreel, so that they shall not say, this is Jezebel." It happened just like the Lord said it would. In chapter 10, Ahab had 70 sons in Samaria, verse 1. They took the king's sons and slew 70 persons and put their heads in baskets and sent him them to Jezreel in verse 7. Verse 11 reports, so Jehu slew who? I'll underscore this. All that remained in the house of Ahab in Jezreel, all his great men, his kinsfolks, and his priests, and how many leave him remaining? None. Left him none remaining. Then in verse 16, this statement, he said, come with me and see my what? Zeal for the Lord. Could you say that today? Could you say, see my zeal for the Lord? Can zeal for the Lord be seen? It can. It's seen here when he came to Samaria and slew all that remained unto Ahab in Samaria till he had destroyed him according to the saying of the Lord which he spake to Elijah. And in verse 19, when he gathered all the people together and said, Ahab serve Baal little, Jehu shall serve him much. Now therefore call unto me all the prophets of Baal, all his servants, all his priests. Let none be wanting, for I have a great sacrifice to do to Baal. Whosoever should be wanting, he should not live. But how did he do this? In subtlety. What does that mean? It was deceitfully. He had other intentions, didn't he? To the intent that he might destroy the worshipers of Baal. Underscore that. Destroy the worshipers of Baal. Jehu said, proclaim a solemn assembly for Baal. They proclaimed it. Jehu sent through all Israel. All the worshipers of Baal came. There was not a man left that came not. They came in the house of Baal. And the house of Baal was full from one end to the other. And he said, bring forth vestments for all the worshipers of Baal. Brought forth vestments. And Jehu went and Jehonadab in the house of Baal and said to the worshipers of Baal, search and look that there be here with you none of the servants of the Lord. Distinction made between the worshipers of Baal and the Lord's servants. One and only the worshipers of Baal. And when they went in to offer sacrifices and burn offerings, Jehu appointed 80 men without and said, if any of the men whom I have brought into your hands escape, he that letteth him go, his life shall be for the life of him. And it came to pass, as soon as he had made an end of offering the burnt offering, that Jehu said to the guard and to the captains, go in and slay them, let none come forth. And they smote them with the edge of the sword. They brought forth the images out of the house of Baal and burned them. And verse 28 gives a good summary. Thus Jehu destroyed Baal out of Israel. When he said, come and see my zeal for the Lord, it had to do with destroying Baal out of Israel. We're to be a zealous people, zealous of good works. And you need to have a zeal that can be seen. Can your zeal be seen like his? That's Jehu. Next up is Jehoahaz. In verse 35, Jehoahaz, his son, reigned in his stead. And chapter 13, the first 9 verses relate his reign. He lost most of his kingdom to who? Syria. You recall that? Verse 7 says, neither did he leave of the people to Jehoahaz but 50 horsemen, 10 chariots, and 10,000 footmen, for the king of Syria had destroyed them and made them like the dust by threshing. Jehoahaz, followed by Joash. 2 Kings 13, 10 through 13. Verse 11 says, he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. He departed from all the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel sin, but he walked therein. Chapter 14, 8 through 16, talks about his reign. He smote Syria 3 times, didn't he? Conquered Amaziah, Judah, Then you have Jeroboam the second, chapter 13, verse 13. Joash slept with his fathers, and Jeroboam. There are two Jeroboams. Jeroboam was the first king, right? Now you've got Jeroboam the second, the 13th king of Israel. 14, 23 through 29 talks about him, how that he reigned 41 years. He did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, departed not from all the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. He restored territory to Israel, conquered Damascus and Hamath, restored the coast of Israel. And Jonah, the prophet, is mentioned in connection with his reign in verse 25. Circle Jonah. That's Jeroboam the second. Who's next? Zechariah. Not the prophet, but the king. There's different men. He was slain by Shalem after 6 months. And one of the things that stands out in chapter 15, verse 9 about him is that he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord as who had done? As his fathers had done. You ought to underscore that. It's often the case that we'll do as our fathers have done. Right? So we need to be careful as to what we do, don't we? If your son did as you do, what would he be doing? Zechariah. Shalem follows in chapter 15, 10 through 15. Slain by Menahem after a month. Menahem comes on the scene in 15, 14. And he was very cruel in war, wasn't he? Verse 16 says, Menahem smote Tifsah and all that were therein and the coast thereof from Tirzah, because they opened not to him. Therefore he smote, and all the women therein that were with child he ripped up. Horrible. Invaded by Pul of Assyria. Verse 19, Pul, the king of Assyria, came against the land. Then Pekahiah, verses 22 through 26, reigned in his stead. He did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, departed not from the sins of Jeroboam. That's said of several of these kings, and that's not complimentary language, is it? He was slain by Pekah, who reigned in his stead. Verse 25 and 27 through 31 talks about him. He joined Rezin and attacking Ahaz, invaded by Tiglath-Pileser and slain by Hoshea, then the last king of Israel, Hoshea. 1530, Hoshea, the son of Elah, made a conspiracy against Pekah, smote him, slew him, reigned in his stead in the 20th year of Jotham, the son of Uzziah. And you might note in connection with him in chapter 17, verses 6 through 23. With him you have the end of Israel, last king of Israel. The siege of Samaria and the fall of Israel take place during the reign of Hoshea. But look at this section, verse 6 beginning, chapter 17. In the 9th year of Hoshea, the king of Syria took Samaria and carried Israel away into Assyria. Highlight that. These are sad words. Some of the saddest words in your Bible. For so it was that the children of Israel had sinned against the Lord their God, which had brought them up out of the land of Egypt, from under the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and had feared other gods, and walked in the statutes of the heathen, whom the Lord cast out from before the children of Israel, and of the kings of Israel, which they had made. And the children of Israel did secretly those things that were not right against the Lord their God. They built them high places in all their cities, from the tower of the watchman to the fenced city. They set them up images and groves in every high hill and under every green tree. And there they burnt incense in all the high places, as did the heathen whom the Lord carried away before them, and wrought wicked things to provoke the Lord to anger. For they served idols, whereof the Lord had said unto them, Ye shall not do this thing. Yet the Lord testified against Israel and against Judah by all the prophets and by all the seers, saying, what was the appeal of those prophets? Turn. I like that word. Turn ye from your evil ways, and keep my commandments and my statutes, according to all the law which I commanded your fathers, which I sent to you by my servants the prophets, notwithstanding, what's the next words? Four words, highlight those. They, Jason, would not hear. It didn't have to be this way, did it? Didn't have to be this way. The problem was they would not hear, but hardened their necks like to the neck of their fathers, that did not believe in the Lord their God, and they rejected his statutes and his covenant that he made with their fathers, and his testimonies which he testified against them. And they followed vanity and became vain, and went after the heathen that were round about them, concerning whom the Lord had charged them that they should not do like them. And they left all the commandments of the Lord their God, made them molten images, even two calves, and made it grow, and worshipped all the host of heaven, and served Baal. And they caused their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire, and used divination and enchantments, and sold themselves to do evil in the sight of the Lord, to provoke him to anger. Therefore, the Lord was very angry with Israel, and removed them out of his sight. There was none left but the tribe of Judah only. Also Judah kept not the commandments of the Lord their God, but walked in the statutes of Israel, which they made. And the Lord rejected all the seed of Israel, and afflicted them, delivered them into the hand of spoilers, until he had cast them out of his sight. For he rent Israel from the house of David, and they made Jeroboam the son of Nebat king, and Jeroboam drave Israel from following the Lord, and made them sin a great sin. For the children of Israel walked in all the sins of Jeroboam, which he did. They departed not from them, until the Lord removed Israel out of his sight, as he had said by all his servants, the prophets. Then highlight this statement. So was Israel carried away out of their own land to Assyria unto this day. 6 through 23 gives you an overview of this period of history, telling the reasons for Israel's fall and being carried away out of their own land to Assyria. That's the kings of Israel. Now, let's briefly highlight the kings of Judah. First up in this section, the fifth king of Judah would be Jehoram or Joram. How would you describe him? Good, bad? Some of these were good, some were bad. He was one of the worst. 2 Kings 8, 16 to 24. Listen to these words in chapter 8, beginning in verse 16. Jehoram began to reign, 32 years old was he when he began to reign. He reigned 8 years in Jerusalem. He walked in the way of the kings of Israel. That's not a way you want to walk, is it, Jared? Don't want to walk in the way of the kings of Israel. As did the house of Ahab. That's not a good statement. Who was his wife? How'd you like to be married to Ahab's daughter? What do you know about Ahab? One of the worst, wasn't he? Kings of Israel. Does it matter who you marry? Don't marry the daughter of Ahab. That'd be good advice, Eric. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord. That's Joram. Next, Ahaziah. 2 Kings 8, 24 to 29, and chapter 9, 27 through 29. How'd you describe him? Evil. 27 says, 8:27, he walked in the way of the house of Ahab and did evil in the sight of the Lord, as did the house of Ahab, for he was the son-in-law of the house of Ahab. Athaliah, chapter 11, 1 through 16, evil. He slew all but one of the house of David. Who is that? Joash, circle Joash. And she was slain in a plot by Jehoiada. Athaliah was the mother of who? Ahaziah. Evil. Joash, good and bad. 2 Kings 11 and 12. verse 2 says of chapter 12, Joash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all his days, wherein who was present? Jehoiada the priest instructed him. That's significant. Sometimes people do good as long as somebody like Jehoiada is around. Shows the importance of good influence. What stands out about his reign? Repaired the temple. Remember in verse 5? Let the priest take it to them, every man of his acquaintance. Let them repair the breaches of the house. Wheresoever any breach shall be found. Remember the chest? Bored a hole in the lid of it. Set it beside the altar. Put therein all the money that was brought into the house of the Lord. And there was much money in the chest. So the temple was repaired during the reign of Joash. Next, Amaziah. Good and bad. Conquered Edom. Chapter 14. You might notice verses 5 and 6. Came to pass, as soon as the kingdom was confirmed in his hand, that he slew his servants, which had slain the king his father. But the children of the murderers he slew not. Why not? Why not the children? Remember that principle back in Deuteronomy 24:16? The father shall not be put to death for the children, nor the children be put to death for the fathers, but every man shall be put to death for his own sin. It's a good principle. Shows the innocency of children. And he was defeated by Jehoash. Next, Azariah or Uzziah. He was a mighty man. Chapter 15, verse 3. His reign was good, wasn't it? He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. He became a leper. We'll read more about that in 2 Chronicles as it relates to history of the kings of Judah, primarily. Jotham, 1532 to 38, followed by Ahaz. How would you describe Ahaz? One of the worst, wasn't he? Introduced idolatry. Look at verses 2 through 4, chapter 16. 20 years old was Ahaz when he began to reign. Reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. And what's this last sentence about him? Did not that which was right in the sight of the Lord. But he walked in the way of the kings of Israel. That said of several of these that were wicked among Judah. Yea, and made his son to pass through the fire, according to the abominations of the heathen, whom the Lord cast out from before the children of Israel. And he sacrificed and burnt incense in the high places and on the hills and under every green tree. One of the worst. Made an altar. Remember the altar he made? Like one in Damascus. He damaged the temple willfully. Ahaz. Who follows Ahaz? Hezekiah. Something how you can have a descendant that's so good after someone so evil. Hezekiah is one of the best. The temple was reopened and cleansed. Had the great Passover. A lot of things stand out about Hezekiah's reign. Chapter 18, notice this statement. Beginning verse 3. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father did. He removed the high places, break the images, cut down the groves, break in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. Remember that story back in Numbers? The people were complaining, and what happened? The Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, bit the people, much of the people died. The Lord prescribed what as a remedy? serpent of brass put on a pole, and what'd you have to do? Look to it and you'd live. If a physician prescribed that today, suppose you're hiking a trail and got bit by a rattler, and he said, we're going to put a snake on a pole. You look to that and you'll be all right. What'd you think? You might laugh at that. The foolishness of God is wiser than men. It worked. But this shows that when God gets through with a thing, he does away with it. They held on to that. What'd they make it? An idol. They were worshiping that. And here Hezekiah, generations later, comes along and he calls it what? Nehushtan. What does that word mean? Nehushtan. Piece of brass. It's just a piece of brass. It had no significance. What do you do with it? Break it in pieces and called it Nehushtan. It served his purpose and he did away with it. He trusted the Lord God of Israel so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah and any that were before him. For he clave to the Lord and departed not from following him, but kept his commandments which the Lord commanded Moses. The Lord was with him, and he prospered with us wherever he went forth. Those seven verses, first seven verses of chapter 18, make for an excellent sermon. What made Hezekiah great? He goes down in history as one of the greatest kings of all time. And would God those things said about him could be said of us? Did what was right, rid Israel of idolatry, trusted in the Lord, clave to the Lord, departed not from following, and kept his commandments. The Lord was with him. That's the key. You want to prosper? You got to have the Lord with you. How do you have the Lord with you? Do what Hezekiah did. You got to cleave to him. Depart not from following. Hezekiah. His reign continues, chapter 19 and 20. You remember Sennacherib's invasion? And Hezekiah was a man of prayer, wasn't he? Think of his prayer, chapter 19, verse 15. Hezekiah prayed before the Lord. I like those words. Prayed before the Lord. He said, and here's his prayer. O Lord God of Israel, which dwellest between the cherubims, thou art the God, even thou alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth. Thou hast made heaven and earth. Lord, bow down thine ear and hear. Open, Lord, thine eyes and see. And hear the words of Sennacherib, which has sent him to reproach the living God. Of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have destroyed the nations and their lands, and have cast their gods into the fire. For they were no gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone, therefore they have destroyed them. Now therefore, O Lord our God, I beseech thee, save thou us out of his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord God, even thou only. That's his appeal. He's praying for salvation. Save us from the Assyrians. And Hezekiah was told by Isaiah the prophet, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, that which thou hast prayed to me against Sennacherib, king of Israel, I have what? Heard. I like that in verse 20. I have heard. God hears prayer. You heard the prayer of Isaiah. Then in chapter 20, he is told, set your house in order, thou shalt die and not live. You got to highlight that. All of us need to do some house setting in order. And then he prayed again, verse 2, highlight, prayed unto the Lord. And the Lord said in verse 5, I've heard thy prayer, I've seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee. Might underscore, heard thy prayer, seen thy tears. Isn't that a comfort? And what was added to him? 15 years added to his days. Who says prayer doesn't do any good? Power of prayer is seen in Hezekiah. His life was extended. Remember the sundial and the visitors from Babylon? It's a light thing for the shadow to go down 10 degrees. Nay, but let the shadow return backward 10 degrees. And the shadow was brought back 10 degrees in the dial of Ahaz, verse 11. And the question, great question, good sermon question, what have they seen in thine house? If they were to look through your house, what would they find? What would they see? Hezekiah, one of the best. Then Manasseh. Hezekiah wasn't great because of his father. He was father Ahaz was one of the worst. And then he wasn't great because of his son. His son was the worst. Manasseh. Something, isn't it? How you can have someone so good come from someone so wicked. And after one so good, you have someone that's so wicked. Idolatry was unlimited. Think of his cruelty. You have the announcement of Judah's end. Captive in Babylon. Look at 21, beginning in verse 2. He did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord after the abominations of the heathen whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. He built up again the high places which Hezekiah's father destroyed. Imagine that. Here, Hezekiah worked so hard to destroy all that, and then his son comes along and builds it up again. Reared up altars for Baal, made a grove, as did Ahab, king of Israel, worshipped all the host of heaven and served them, built altars in the house of the Lord, of which the Lord said, in Jerusalem will I put my name, built altars for all the host of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord, made his son pass through the fire, observed times, used enchantments, dealt with familiar spirits and wizards. And this statement, he wrought much wickedness in the sight of the Lord, provoked him to anger. Set a graven image of the grove that he had made in the house of which the Lord said to David and to Solomon his son, in this house and in Jerusalem, which I've chosen out of all the tribes of Israel, will I put my name forever. Neither will I make the feet of Israel move any more out of the land which I gave their fathers, only if they will observe to do according to all that I've commanded them and according to all that the law my servant Moses commanded them. But some sad words here, they hearkened not. And Manasseh seduced them to do more evil than did the nations whom the Lord destroyed before the children of Israel. That's a mouthful, isn't it? You had to highlight that in verse 9. Seduced them to do more evil than the nations whom the Lord destroyed before the children of Israel. Verse 11. Because Manasseh, king of Judah, had done these abominations and had done wickedly above all that the Amorites did. Highlight that. Which were before him, and hath made Judah also to sin with his idols. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, behold, I am bringing such evil upon Jerusalem and Judah, that whosoever heareth of it, both his ears shall tingle. Verse 16, moreover, Manasseh shed what? Innocent blood, very much, till he had filled Jerusalem from one end to another. Sad time. Ammon, next, 21, 18 to 26, evil. He continued his father's evils. Verse 20, he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, as his father Manasseh did. He walked in all the way that his father walked in. Don't think you have influence as a father. Think again. Josiah, one of the best, wasn't he? Temple repair, 22 to 23, talks about his reign. The book of the law was found. Idolatry purged, true religion enforced. A lot of great things stand out about Josiah, verse 2, 22, 2, did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. Verse 11, when he heard the words of the book of the law, he rent his clothes. Verse 16, the Lord said, he's bringing evil upon this place. Behold, because, verse 17, they have forsaken me, burned incense unto other gods. But he said it to concerning Josiah, verse 19, because thine heart was tender, and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord. He said, I'll gather thee unto thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered into thy grave in peace. Thine eyes shall not see all the evil which I'll bring upon this place. It shows the importance of having a tender, humble heart. Saved him from seeing some evil, didn't it? 23:2, he read in the ears of all the words of the book of the covenant, which was found in the house of the Lord. That's a great reading. A covenant was made to walk after the Lord, keep his commandments, his testimonies, his statutes with all their heart and all their soul. We need to be in agreement with that. Then Jehoahaz, 23:30-34, Jehoiakim, in chapter 24, verse 3 says, surely at the commandment of the Lord came this upon Judah to remove them out of his sight for the sins of Manasseh, also for the innocent blood that he shed, for he filled Jerusalem with innocent blood, which the Lord would not pardon. That sent the kingdom into a tailspin from which it never would recover. Jehoiakim, Remember Jeremiah's role? He cut it up, didn't he? And you have the first deportation to Babylon. They went away in three groups. First Jehoiakim, then Jehoiakim, and then Zedekiah. In chapter 25, beginning in verse 7, they put out the eyes of Zedekiah, bound him with fetters of brass, carried him to Babylon. Verse 9, he burnt the house of the Lord, the king's house, and all the houses of Jerusalem, all the army of the Chaldees that were with the captain of the guard, break down the walls of Jerusalem round about. Sad day. Verse 21 says, so Judah was carried away out of their land. That's the end of Judah. Elijah and Elisha, prophets during this time. Elijah came on the scene in 1 Kings 17 during the reign of wicked Ahab. He was a hairy man and girt with a girdle of leather about his loins, according to chapter 1, 7, and 8. He went up by what? Whirlwind into heaven, you remember? 2:11. Double portion, if Elisha saw it, and he did. Chapter 2, 9, and 12. And he makes a number of appearances in the New Testament. He's one of those that appeared on the Mount of Transfiguration, right? Matthew 17. Lots of appearances in the New Testament. Elisha. Remember in 1 Kings 19, Elijah anointed Elisha to be a prophet in his room? What a good story. Nicholas talked about that. And some great stories involving Elisha. We'll not look at all those. Remember the two she-bears? Don't mock messengers of God. The Lord sent the she-bears as Elisha is mocked by little children. Remember the pot of oil? 2 Kings 4. It's a good story. The woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets was able to sell the oil and pay the debt. The woman of Shunem, what a great story of hospitality. 2 Kings 4. A lot of good lessons come from that. She recognized the needs of the man of God. Little room or chamber, bed, table, stool, candlestick. The great pot. Remember when death was in the pot? 2 Kings 4. Naaman, who can overlook Naaman? What a great story. The leper. A lot of good lessons come from that. When the iron did swim. Can iron float? Good lesson about things borrowed, right? Respect for other people's property. And you have the arrow of the Lord's deliverance with Elisha, 2 Kings 13, and his death. He's only mentioned one time in the New Testament, right? What's that reference? Nicholas? Luke 4:27. Thanks for being on the same page with us tonight. The king of Syria took Samaria, carried Israel away into captivity. Chapter 17, 7 to 18 tells why Israel was removed. The king of Babylon took Jerusalem and carried Judah into captivity. Read 2 Chronicles 36, 14 to 21, and that'll tell why Judah was carried away. Unfortunately, they experienced the curses of disobedience. The Lord announced back in Deuteronomy 28. If you go back and read that, it shows why all this happened. It didn't have to be that way, but they chose that by their choosing to disobey the Lord. So 2 Kings reveals the end of the kingdoms of Israel and Judah. Several other books of the Bible belong to this period of history. In addition to 1 and 2 Kings, 2 Chronicles 10 through 36 will emphasize events taking place in the kingdom of Judah. That's just a brief overview of 2 Kings. As you read through that and look through the material, hope it would whet your appetite to want to do a deeper study of that book and the lessons contained therein. Thanks for being with us tonight. 1 Chronicles is up next.